Edelman suffered a complete ACL tear in his right knee last night. That means he is expected to miss the entire season.
You know, we feel badly for Julian. Hope that he will have a complete recovery, but he will have to move on and we'll have to compete in this season without him.
Foul off the snap. Drops back. He pumps. He throws it left. He's looking for touch in the end zone. It's caught. It's a touchdown. Patriots!
You never count this kid out. Cooks with the catch of his life as a Patriot.
Dont'a Hightower had an injury, but it turns out he's got a torn pec, and he's going to be out for the season. So this is a blow to the Patriots' defense that had shown signs of improvement.
Carr dropping back, stepping up, lobbing a long ball, and intercepted off the deflection by Daron Harmon.
Jimmy Garoppolo, seemingly the heir apparent to your position, has been traded to the 49ers for a second-round 2018 pick.
Jimmy was a great teammate, and he's a great friend, and he always will be. You know, I want nothing but the very best for him.
Roethlisberger under center, drops back, pumps, he throws to the middle. It's not incomplete. Intercepted by Harmon. Deflection to Harmon. An interception in the end zone. The Patriots are going to win in Pittsburgh.
I don't know what to say anymore. I really don't.
Bill Belichick did not want to trade Jimmy Garoppolo, and it's really caused problems that have been behind the scenes for months between the three most powerful men in New England.
Hand off to Deion, runs it through the left side.
Championship drive.
Takes the snap, bounces the pocket, as he throws left. Touchdown. Yeah. Rob Gronkowski.
In
his second
face.
Of the day.
In your face. Brady gets drilled and gets right up and says, keep bringing it.
Collision that Tom Brady was involved in, his right throwing hand making contact with one of his Patriots teammates. They feel like this could have a little bit of an effect on him in the game on Sunday.
Brady takes the snap, hands it to White, runs his left into the end zone. Touchdown. Patriots. Tom takes the snap, throws down the middle. Catch by Amendola. Fakes to White, fires, and the ball is caught in the back of the end zone by Danny.
It's a catch.
Amendola. Touchdown. Patriots.
It's a catch.
He made the grab just inside the end line. And New England has taken the lead.
I love Tom Brady. Danny, playoff Amendola.
Reynolds runs up and throws deep downfield. And the throw is knocked away by Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore leaving his feet, reaching out with his right hand and swatting down a pass intended for D.D.
This is what I dreamt about as a fan in the stands, just like all of you. And now we have to go to Minnesota and finish the job.
Robert Kraft, along with Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, they're bound for Super Bowl 52 in Minneapolis.
The Patriots are not done.
We had to write our own story tonight, and it took every player that played in the game, every coach that coached. You know, but just happy we won, baby. We're going to Minnesota.
Five, the Sports Hub. We are Touch and Rich in the Town Fair Tire Studios. This is the most absurd thing.
Real quick, I just want to plug the people at 98.5 Sports. They did a really good job. They took that montage, if you liked it, and put it to pictures and everything. If you go to 98.5 Sports, they did an excellent job. So if you want to download that, we have some requests for it. They ended up giving it a visual. So go to 98.5sportshub.com, or you can go to their Facebook page and find it there.
All right, this is fairly absurd. We have full phone lines discussing Kraft and his love for hot dogs.
And what he possibly meant when he was talking about hot dogs sliced. This has really become quite a mystery. What is he trying to say here?
Does this ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
What does it mean? What is the explanation?
If you ever told me that we were doing 20 minutes on Robert Kraft's statement on hot dogs, yeah. I would. But hey, listen, there's 2 weeks before now.
Phone lines are filled.
Fred, go ahead, sir.
Hey, guys. All right. So listen, Kraft is talking about before you put a hot dog on the grill, you put like 4 or 5 horizontal, 1/2 inch, 1 inch slices down it so that when it grills, it doesn't pop.
No, I understand.
But what does that have to do with the Patriots winning AFC Championship?
And why add that?
Because Kraft, they asked him, doesn't this ever get old? The guy clearly likes the Hebrew Nationals. He's like, listen, you want a dog, you slice it up. Does that ever get old?
Well, first of all, you're stereotyping. How dare a Hebrew National? Just because the man is Jewish doesn't mean...
Somebody said, Coming to Gillette this fall, your copywritten $18 six-ring sliced dog. It could be.
That was a good leap. I wouldn't have done that. Well, listen, that was really good.
Just because your MOT doesn't mean you can't rock a ballpark.
How dare you stereotype like that? That was awful.
I mean, please. Andy, go ahead.
Andy, what is Robert Kraft talking about with comparing the Patriots to a hot dog? Andy.
And Andy
no
is
one wants to be the guy who comes on next after you kill like that.
Jeff, go ahead.
Jeff.
All right.
I think that they've all been silenced by
the Hebrew National.
By the hot dog and Audi.
That's right.
All right. Well, listen.
Nick just tweeted full phone lines, hashtag hot dog talk. I mean,
does ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog sliced? You like it, right?
Yes, that's right. Cut hot dogs probably refer to scoring.
Yeah.
They cook evenly on the grill.
That's right. Well, this is the Illuminati. Ken, go ahead.
Hey, you know, I'm in disbelief that it's my first time calling the show. I'm talking about hot dogs, first of all.
Yes.
But second of all, yeah, I agree with Fred a couple of callers ago. That's exactly what it is. All you do is you make your three little slits, you cook them nice and even on the grill, and that's what people associate with the nice grilled hot dog. So it's like something you crave, just like you crave Patriots wins.
All right.
That's what it is. It's pretty basic.
All right. Well, listen, that's what you say.
Yeah. Obviously, you haven't looked into this. You got to look into it a little further.
So you crave wins like you crave hot dogs?
Wayne, go ahead.
Oh, God. If you guys play that damn hot dog song from Mickey Mouse Clubhouse one more time, I'm going to kill you guys.
All right. What song? I don't know what you're referring to. Rich, do you know?
Listen, I don't know. I'll have to take a look. Is it a...
Call me RKK.
You like it, right? Hot dog, hot dog, slice on. Now we got.
I always buy them lemonade.
Cheers, hot dog, hot dog. No problem solved.
So I call him Mr. Lemonade.
Hot dog, hot dog.
That's cool with me.
Do you ever not like it? Have a nice hot grilled hot dog slice. You like it, right?
Aw, thanks for stopping by.
This is the apex of our careers.
A bowl of pasta.
This is the apex of our careers. Just, you know, you pasta. you work hard for almost 12 years in a market, and it all comes down to analyzing his hot dog comment.
Yep.
This is
at 8 o'clock, right in the prime meat of the show.
This is the zenith.
Week after the Patriots are going, they win the AFC Championship. It's hot dog talk. Full phone lines.
This is what I wanted to do as a kid. Right here.
Dreams do come true.
You know, I wanted to be on the radio since an early age, and this is exactly how I envisioned it. Sitting here breaking down Robert Kraft.
Zolak, do you have a comment on this? All right.
Very good.
I mean, everyone's lost their minds. Everyone's lost their minds this week. Yeah, right. Thank you very much, Scott Zolak. I appreciate that.
All right. Tom, go ahead.
Steak and eggs, guys.
Hey, what's up?
So I think the hot dog thing is clearly evidence of a rift between Kraft and Brady, because Brady would never authorize a hot dog under the TB12 method.
That's a good point. And perhaps that could be the water. That's the reason he's drinking the water.
And perhaps the slice is analogous to
the divide
rift between not Brady, but Belichick and Kraft.
Yeah. Because I don't think it's one slice. I think it's multiple slices.
All right. I'm going to shoot myself in the head if we continue this conversation any longer.
Does ever get old? Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
Yeah, I do.
It's like at the end. You like it, right? For a peasant like you, that's good stuff. For me, it's collecting rain.
Gronkowski!
It'd be funny if they're like, Super Bowl ring this year was just, you know, a thing from the, like a washer. Like a washer that you'd screw in. Like they just go, here, you, well, how many rings do you want me to buy?
You got enough nice rings.
Yeah.
Right.
Like how many of these do you want me to buy?
That would be kind of great if, you know, the Duck Parade started off with the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile and Robert Kraft riding on top of it like a cowboy. Hat and everything. Yahoo! Big smile on his face. Eyebrows going up and down. Holding a hot dog. Sliced.
All right. Oh.
All right.
I'm so untalented.
Phone lines
all right, I understand that, but that's
God. We have an old guy. It says on the thing, old guy, breaking down hot dogs.
I can't do it anymore.
Just one more, Fred.
You deny the conspiracy. You're part of the Illuminati,
Come
Fred.
On.
People just want me to kill myself. Sean, go ahead.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up?
What's going on today?
Good. You're breaking down the hot dog, apparently?
Yeah, well, I got a problem with the hot dog. You know, you guys are saying it's a foot-long hot dog, but what if you cut it in half? Now you got to eat 2 feet of hot dog.
Ah! See? That was totally worth it.
Do you have game?
You have game?
The Boston Bruins and the Boston Bruins Foundation invite you to the first annual Patrice Bergeron and 98.5 The Sports Hub's
Paddle.
It's Thursday, February 15th at Royale Boston. The tournament will feature current Bruins players, Toucher and Rich, and the patients from Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. How would you like to show your skills in doubles ping pong with a celebrity of your choice? Place your bids and get VIP or general admission tickets by going to 98.5thesportshub.com now. It's Pucks and Paddles. Patrice Bergeron and his teammates, Toucher and Rich.
Presented by Mimecast and Coors Light.
Also brought to you by Fairway Financial.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Do you like talking now?
Toucher and Rich.
Open your mouth wide.
On 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Fourth and 15 from New England's 43. Trips to the wide side left. One to the right. Low snap to Bortles. Backs Harrison. Up. Pressured by Harrison. Bortles runs up and throws deep downfield. And the throw is knocked away by Gilmore. Stephon Gilmore leaving his feet. Reaching out with his right hand. And swatting down a pass intended for D.D. Westbrook.
Play the game.
98.5, The Sports Hub. We are Toucher and Rich. Will Brinson covers the NFL for CBSSports.com.
That's still my favorite play of the game when I think back at that. I mean, there were a lot of amazing ones, but that's Stephon Gilmore, and it's like the perfectly photographed play, too. Have you seen the still frame where just the ball is directly in the center of his hand, and he just swats it down? It was just, and it was good. He felt good, too, because finally he could look back and say, well, something justified that contract at this point. Not quite the J.D. Drew moment that you were talking about, but it did justify the contract.
At the exact same time, Drew hit the Grand Slam in the American League Championship Series, so help him win it in Game 7. And
Stephon
same
Gilmore
thing.
Played his position,
yeah.
Indeed. All right, Will Brinson, thank you for joining us, sir.
What's up, guys? Hope you've got this high energy going from this new feeling of being in a Super Bowl.
Yes, indeed. It's now, are you going out to... You're going to be around.
Yes, I'll be there. I invited myself to come see you guys, but if you don't want me to come by, that's fine. But no, I won't be there until Thursday. So we'll see. There was a planning screw-up with a birthday party that it's just not going well.
You are a family man, my friend. I'm telling you that. You have very patient employers. I will when you go to the Super Bowl as a media member, we've never been as media members. I take it you're going to the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
This will be my 8th Super Bowl.
Okay, so when you go to the Super Bowl as a media member, what is that situation like? Because I went to one Stanley Cup Finals game as a member of the media, and they had me down in the basement watching it on TV.
Yeah.
The basement of the Garden watching it on TV. What is it like for the, like, can you see the field?
Yeah, all right, so they have three different setups for media members. One, they have the press box, of course, which is where the big shots go. I go there now. I somehow matriculated my way up to a press box, an actual press box seat. And usually in these newer stadiums, they've got so many seats in there that they can fit. Hashtag blessed or whatever to be with a bigger outlet. Like they're going to hook you up, I guess. Then they also have an auxiliary press box in the 300 level of the stands. I think I sat there like four times. I almost, I don't like it better because it's less comfortable and it's harder to, you know, to actually function at your job. But it's really cool being in the stadium for the Super Bowl. I was there like in that end zone in that side of the field when Aaron Rodgers hit Greg Jennings back when the Packers beat the Steelers, and I was down there when Gronk barely missed the that catch. But yeah, I mean, usually, you know, they also have a setup underneath, though, in like a big concrete room where you're watching it on TVs. And if you somehow draw that card, you feel a little cheated. Like, what am I doing here at the Super Bowl when I'm watching it on television like everyone else, except with a less nice television and spoilers, really, really loud spoilers every 3 seconds.
Yeah, and why am I not just at a bar where I could actually be enjoying myself? Yeah.
They're not serving beer here either. And
no.
The turkey sandwich is terrible.
Yeah, I left that situation at the NHL's finals game after about, I think, when I asked Jaffe, is this real? He said yes.
Well, I don't know if Will has experienced this, because I know you said you worked up, but you saw the pictures that Michael Hurley took last year from CBS here locally. He sat in just this room that all it was a bunch of long tables with like Wi-Fi connectors and plugs, and they watched it on these small televisions.
Yeah.
So they weren't
they call it like the second auxiliary press room or something like that. If you draw that, you're pissed. And but the problem is there's nothing you can do because you have a job to do. So you can't storm out of work without getting the quotes and the stories and et cetera, et cetera. So I mean, yeah, it comes with the territory of trying to jam, a 250 journalist into one spot. I do think after last year's Brady jersey fiasco that you're going to see security be a little tighter with respect to the working press. And that you'll probably see less people approved this year.
Yeah, we were responsible for getting that jersey back to Brady, by the way. Just like to pat ourselves on the back.
Well, how are we?
Remember, we found the guy and we said, hey, I think the Patriots should not getting it back to him, but the Patriots hooking him up and rewarding him for doing so.
You guys are the narcs?
No, we were the ones who talked to him and said,
we were the narcs,
and we
apparently
got the information to Stacey James, and then there you go. The big things happened for the guy. So
that's right, you guys are the number one rated sports show in the Boston area.
It's right. Amazing what I don't remember.
Oh, but the one thing about it's always a long 2 weeks, because all the storylines that are being thrown out there are exhausted by about today, by Tuesday after it's done. Like, it's, you know, Nick Foles, the backup versus, you know, David versus Goliath. We heard that even during the Jaguars thing. What is, like, going to be one of the most underreported storylines that you find interesting for this Super Bowl?
Well, I mean, it is tough because of the Patriots factor. I mean, like, you know, you're not... You know, this isn't some new... I mean, to be honest, I think a lot of people are probably rooting for the Jaguars just for, you know, like, some new storyline.
Yeah, for a variety, right.
You know, like, how many times can you write Tom Brady and Bill Belichick are the best? Or, you know, Gronk is going to be the most annoying storyline because he's clearly going to play in 2 weeks, and we're going to have to go through a daily dance about whether or not he's been cleared. You know, I actually think the best storyline, and if the Cardinals hadn't filled their... if the Cardinals hadn't filled their coaching job with Steve Wilks, it would have been even better because the Eagles, John DeFilippo and Jim Schwartz would have potentially been involved for that Cardinals job. I think it's fascinating to see how these guys work under, you know, Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels work under, you know, not duress, but under, they're basically working, they're sort of working two jobs, right? Like you've got one foot out the door. I don't know if you guys have ever switched jobs, but when you switch jobs, it's hard to pay attention to your old job, right?
Yeah,
like you're not just totally blocking out your current job. And I think we saw a little bit of that with Kyle Shanahan last year.
Will, so if I'm McDaniels and I'm Patricia, say I'm Patricia, am I in contact with the Lions this week? And if so, how much?
I mean, I would assume that he is. He's not doing any sort of formal meetings and clear. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. Those guys are going to respect Bill Belichick. And
no,
all
I'm not saying that. But if also if I'm the Lions and I'm going to commit to a guy to be my head coach, I mean, the Senior Bowl is this week and there's stuff going on. How much contact am I having with him?
I think that you're probably texting with Bob Quinn throughout the week. I think you're probably texting with potential assistants. You know, those guys are probably locked in on handshake deals, one would hope, because otherwise you're behind the eight ball on Steve Wilks and you're behind the eight ball on Mike Vrabel. Maybe they're not locked in. So I think there is enough I think there's some coordination that goes on in there. Maybe you're figuring out, you know, when you'll fly into Detroit, when you'll announce the deal, you know, and those sort of things. But by and large, I would expect not a ton of, like, you won't see, we won't see any communication, right? I mean, like, anything that happens would be behind the scenes.
Right.
But certainly, I mean, you know, you're going to be talking, even though you would also assume that Bob Quinn respects the process and isn't going to, you know, you don't tick off Bill Belichick. That just seems like a quick way to end up on Skull Island.
Yeah. It's weird going into this week because I don't know what to make of that Eagles game this weekend, because the Vikings defense has been phenomenal all season long, and then Nick Foles goes in there and carves them up.
He can't possibly do that again.
What happened?
Why not?
Yeah.
Well, it just came out of nowhere. He hasn't been good for a long period of time, and then he drops that the on Vikings, the Vikings' best defense in the NFL.
Vikings were the best team in football, and it was in a pressure situation.
The two things I would say about the Vikings and the Vikings and the Eagles game as it relates to the Patriots: one, Nick Foles is really streaky, right? I mean, he's got the single game record for touchdown passes with 7 in NFL history. So, I mean, he's capable of having those big games. Two, I thought that the Vikings didn't show up in a way that indicated they were still sort of hungover, or whatever phrase you want to use, from that Saints game. And then three, I think what you saw from the Eagles and Nick Foles was not too dissimilar from what you saw from the Jaguars and Blake Bortles in the first half. Like, the Jaguars showed against the Patriots, you can scheme up situations offensively to get quarterbacks easy throws and to get guys open enough that even a quarterback like Blake Bortles can put the ball in there. And so I think you're going to see that from the Eagles. You know, if the Jaguars hadn't just, you know, flipped the coin and gone completely conservative, I mean, taking the knee with 55 seconds left in the second quarter was basically a precursor for their entire second half that was entirely predictable. If you guys haven't seen it, go check out Warren Sharp, I think, at Sharp Football on Twitter. He's got an interesting thread on Twitter about how the Jaguars just ran on first down every time in the second half. I mean, they handed the game back to the Patriots. I don't think you'll see the Eagles do that, and that's why I kind of believe Nick Foles could have a good game.
It's also, yeah, like I even heard some of the players from the Jaguars yesterday saying that they would just run the same play twice in a row, the same running play. And he's like, all right, they were ready for him the first time. Why did we run it a second time?
Right, and you heard immediately after the game, I think it was Jalen Ramsey, another, maybe Miles Jack too, multiple defenders were like, we sort of went zone in the second half, and we don't really know why, because Tom Brady's carving us up, and we're the best man-to-man cover team in the league, and we just lost. I mean, I think that, as you know, it's weird that you don't dwell on it maybe more, because if that's the Super Bowl and they lose like that in the Super Bowl, I think that it is getting dissected. And we are having a longer conversation about the coaching job done. But you sort of give the Jaguars a participation trophy. Like, you made it. You almost beat the Pats. Great job. You took your slingshot. You fired a rock at his face. And you nearly escaped. Moving on. If it had been the Super Bowl and it was the last game of the year and we had nothing to talk about and they gave up that lead in the fourth quarter, I think we would have a much deeper dive into the coaching questions, the questionable coaching moves in the second half. I'd be curious if that didn't fill the space the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, from about 2 minutes and 20 seconds left in the second till the end of the game, they basically just crapped themselves, which I don't know how you can be a professional football coach and have that kind of experience and still succumb to that. All right, Will Brinson.
Maybe they didn't trust Bortles. That's the other thing, is maybe they didn't trust Bortles.
They trusted Bortles enough to get a lead.
Yeah, but then they gave up on him.
If Fournette, because I thought the idea at the beginning of the third was to run Fournette and just tire out the defensive line of the Patriots. Their linebackers aren't particularly great. And just into start, but once it became obvious that they were setting up against the run and you were getting a yard a carry, I mean, that goes out the window. I think they were trying to establish a power game where they were picking up 4 yards on first down, but
then
when
they
started picking up
one or two on first down.
Exactly. And then you get
stuck in second and longs where Bortles was converting that earlier. He wasn't in the third and fourth quarters.
Yes, correct.
And by the way, now you know why Bill Belichick was punting at midfield on fourth and short.
Yeah.
Yep. All right. Will Brinson, always a pleasure. Maybe we'll see you over there in Minneapolis.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
All right. Appreciate it. There you have it. We have some audio of some Eagles fans, and we'll get to that here in the headlines.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports. Sports Hub.
Blowout. How about you?
Oh, my God. My heart can't stop racing right now.
Yeah.
Amazing win. I don't have a voice.
Yeah. No, oh, my God. How about
amazing.
You?
No, it's crazy. Wentz goes down. Big Nick Stefanski.
Oh, all right. Sorry about that, but this is live television, folks.
The international news taught us we couldn't do it last week, and then we did against Matt Ryan. And then this week we did it against the Vikings, baby. Where was there a defense this week? Nowhere. You know where they were? In South Philly, the last place they wanted to be.
A lot of fun out here. I think there's just a lot of screaming. And,
Go Birds! Go Birds!
We apologize for that, live TV, so.
Live TV. 98.5 The Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. What did they expect was going to happen?
And the streets of Philly.
Let's go to South Street and kind of hang around for a while.
If you have a chance and any interest, go 1984... Detroit Tigers, and when the Tigers won the World Series, they had this news crew up on a crane, and people were pelting them with everything that they had, and the next day they have news footage of them going to Tiger Stadium, and all the letters are missing, all the ground is all everyone just took the bases and took all the grass, it was anarchy.
There's one clip that I couldn't even edit to play, but it's a newscaster in front of this crowd, and they all start yelling F Tom Brady at the top of their lungs, and no one's of course in sync with each other, so it's all over the place, but then that went on for maybe a good 20 seconds before they cut back to the studio. So they got a good 6 or 7 of those in before they actually transition.
And I mean, what are you going to do about it?
I mean, it's awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost, you see, I missed this. Think about, And I keep dwelling on this, but I remember, do you remember when CSN or NBC Sports Boston used to have in their studio outside the garden, you could see the people outside. They've covered it up where you can't do that now. And do you remember during that Bruins run when it was Tony Amonte and Felger, and they were beating on that glass so hard that I think even Felger swore at one point, and he didn't realize he was on TV, but they were coming back, and he swore, and I know Amonte has sworn before, too, on there.
Amonte was
to where it's like chaos. You saw people.
So she didn't know if it was people banging on the window or the banging in his head.
He did sometimes look like he showed up.
You're saying his nose was a little red?
No, I just disheveled, I guess.
I shouldn't really talk because I'm in sort of the same boat. But,
sure, but I do miss that, and that wasn't even after they won the championship. I mean, they didn't win the Stanley Cup. That was just on the run.
You'll get that again if they make a run this year. All right, so what do we have
here? All right, so obviously the Philly fans are extremely excited, and there's one guy that I've been a big fan of for a while now because usually he's a defeatist, and he's somebody who every time the Phillies would suffer a bad loss, and it's been a lot over the past however long, this guy would make a video blog, and he's one of the few guys that's worth actually checking out. His name's Dirty, so he has to go by the acronym EDP. First word is eat. And so let's take a listen to Mr. EDP, a huge Eagles fan, talking about this is actually a couple hours after the Eagles ended up winning the NFC Championship.
New England Patriots! Where the f*** are you at? Where are you at? I've been dreaming!
Is he always alone?
Yes, he's all alone. And all over his room is like Eagles stuff. And this guy is for real. There's one video which we have not played that he said that he came home one day and found that his father had a New England Patriots shirt. And the whole video is him. And he's a big guy. I mean, he's like 3-something. He might be 320, 330. And he just pulls down his pants and just wipes his rear end with the Patriots. And you see it all in all of its glory.
So is he at home and this is like his bedroom?
This is his bedroom. He's in his bedroom.
At his parents' house.
It sure seems that way.
Okay, so he's watching the game alone in the bedroom at his parents'
Yes.
house.
For the past 15 years! 15 years! 15 years! You do not understand! You do not understand the pain and the hell your cheating-ass franchise has caused me! New England Patriots. I've said it once.
You can't tell he's fat by how out of breath he gets. right. After every yell.
That's right.
It's like,
New England!
I wonder if he's going to make it to the end of this.
I don't know. Well, he apparently does, because Rich is playing it, and if he died, maybe we wouldn't be.
Yeah, then it wouldn't be so funny.
Good point. Yeah,
right.
I've said it once. I'll say it again. And all you motherfucking incest, bitch-made motherfucking fans out there in Boston, how the fuck is it going, motherfucking? You want a piece of me, motherfucking? I'm right here, bitch!
All right, wait. Incest Maine, did he say?
I guess he's talking about Maine. Is he talking about the state of Maine?
Oh, okay.
I guess.
Is there a lot of incest up in Maine?
According to this guy, there is.
Okay.
And I ain't leaving until I get a piece of that New England Patriot ass, motherfucker.
Okay.
All right. Yeah.
That's. You want to taste that, do you?
All right.
You just wait right there.
All right.
I'd rather have a nice grilled hot dog sliced. But that's just.
I think we know a local bartender that could hook you up with that request.
Until I get a piece of that Tom Brady ass, I'm sitting back waiting patiently. 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009. Still waiting patiently. I ain't saying I ain't bitching. Fast forward, 2018. Look who the we have to go against in the motherfucking Super Bowl. A team that robbed our asses. And we want our back, motherfucker. And I don't give a who hears me outside. Tom Brady!
He doesn't care who hears him outside.
You know who hears him outside?
Rock and roll Mike! This outside!
We have a bunch of people saying they're obviously long-lost brothers.
You cheating ass fraud bitch. Robbing motherfucker. Cheating motherfucker, hoodwinking motherfucker, swindling motherfucker.
Hoodwinking?
Yeah. Hoodwinking. Rapscallions.
What's the definition of hoodwinked?
It means you were
grifted?
Yeah, I guess so. In a nefarious way, in a mischievous fashion.
You were blighted by a flim-flam?
Scallywagging motherfucker.
There you go.
Now you've done it.
You got scallywag. I don't know what that.
This is someone who's a fan of the Pirates. Well, there you go.
Swashbuckling.
Yes. Claw-handed. All right, EDP is obviously very excited. We'll talk to Billy Jaffe. A little update probably on the McAvoy situation with his heart, plus a chance for you to spend a lot of time with the Boston Bruins. That's all on the way.
Toucher and Rich.
Sports Hub, we are Toucher and Rich. We were talking about Matt Patricia and with Will Brinson just a minute ago about, you know, McDaniels and Patricia and what kind of contact they would have with the Lions and Indianapolis, respectively. Dave Briquette, who covers the Lions for the Detroit Free Press, says, early dispatch from the Senior Bowl, future Lions coach Matt Patricia talked with some members of the Lions staff last week, told them they would not be returning. So he is, you have to pay a little double duty. You got to do both.
Did you see that clip that's going around of Matt Patricia hugging Tom Brady at the end of the game?
Yes.
And it said, thank you for getting me the Lions job?
No, I did not see that one.
Yeah, where Matt Patricia apparently, I don't know if you can hear it, you can read his lips, but people are saying that he said, thank you for getting me the Lions job.
I just read Robert Kraft's lips when he was talking about his hot dogs. I
mean, listen, the guy does love his hot dogs. Everyone knows that. Mm-hmm. He is a.
No, you should not.
No.
Does that ever get old?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Do you ever not like it? Having a nice hot grilled hot dog slice? You like it, right?
It is.
You want to hold your.
Winning championships is like hot dogs. Somebody said hot dog sliced is the new unequivocally the sweet.
Well, Rich and I were talking off the air, was there needs to be a t-shirt. You know, they made all the money off the Goodell with the clown nose.
Oh,
why can't we make some money with Kraft holding a hot dog?
That's right. Symbolic, obviously, of the sixth ring.
And then we'll pass him out at the Super Bowl. And then everyone will give him a free, and then everyone will be waving him at the Super Bowl. Patrice Bergeron and our show present Pucks and Paddles, the first annual ping pong tournament. It's replacing Cuts for a Cause. First annual ping pong tournament to benefit the Boston Bruins Foundation, the floating hospital for children at Tufts Medical Center. That's happening Thursday, February 15th. This is coming up soon at Royale Boston. Bid to play doubles ping pong against your favorite Bruins players, our show and others. Now, the bidding is not very high right now. Now, it always speeds up towards the end.
Yeah, this is the way it always seems to go. But there's certain players that don't even, like Bruins players don't have a bid yet.
Yeah, so that gets you into VIP. So like the minimum bid's $300, which you get to play ping pong with them and obviously hang out with them. It's not, you know, just ping pong. I mean, you're going to be able to converse and everything else. VIP tickets are $200. Now that gives you access to the autograph session with the team. You get FaceTime with the guys. They'll sign what you got. It's great with kids. General admission tickets are only $50. For all the information to buy tickets, go to 985thesportshub.com/pucks. So go ahead and do that already, okay?
It's a shame. I mean, and listen, it's because everyone around here is spoiled. It's the Patriots are doing so well that they are the A number one story, and of course the Celtics have been stealing headlines, but this Bruins team has been unbelievable. They've been the best team in hockey for a couple weeks now.
A couple months.
A lot longer than a couple weeks. Yeah, I mean, I guess it could be upwards of a month. When was it? Was December? When was the last time that they didn't get a point?
It's been 15 games, 16 games?
Yeah, it's like a 15, 16 game streak. Yeah. So this is something that as soon as the season's over, people are going to finally start to pay attention. It happens all the time. But, I mean, this team could be a team that has potential to win it this year. We know this. And so if you're going to have any year where you want to get autographs from these guys and meet them, this would be it. And it's always going to a good cause. The Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. Fred and I have seen firsthand how well the money is used. And you'll see the kids when you're there as well that it actually helps out. And if you've been to Cuts for a Cause before, you know that it goes to a really great charity. But on top of that, this is going to be a lot of fun. They're very competitive, apparently, at practice with their ping pong. And you get to see them go against each other and possibly get to play against them if you win your bid. Right now, Fred and I have bids. Zolak has a bid. Bertrand and Wallach are the two people at the station who yet to have bids. So play with the Birdman.
Yeah.
I mean, the Birdman is coming in there, and people coming in with the minimums for us. Only $400 for Zolak, even though he promised if he could pay attention long enough to, sure. to hang out with you.
It will not be boring if you play with Zolak.
No, you shouldn't be, but you have to be able to follow him around.
That's true.
That's what
you
have
quick.
To be able to do.
Got to be quick on your feet.
Yeah, so far the highest bid is, I was told David Back, is at $850.
Krug is $800. I know that.
All right, so you have 17 and a half days to get involved in this. But to get your VIP tickets, they will sell out eventually.
That guarantees that you get the autograph session. Get your VIP tickets. Now, if you bid, you could get outbid. So still get your bids in. But if you want guaranteed time with these players, buy your VIP tickets now.
Yes. Patrice Bergeron, who's having the best year of his career. Now, we're supposed to go out to the practice facility at some point this week, but I don't know when that's going to happen.
Best year of his career, yet not an All-Star.
No, I know. I don't know why he wasn't an All-Star. I couldn't tell you why he wasn't an All-Star. I don't know why Marchand's the only one. Chara could have been an All-Star. This is the best Chara's played in years.
Yeah. The problem is the restricted rosters, 3-on-3 for your division, you know, division against division. So that lowers things a little bit.
Yeah. Can